Chapter 18. Things have actually been going pretty smoothly without you here, Cassie said as she creamed together shortening, sugar, and eggs. Lexi frowned at the flour, baking soda, cream of tartar, and salt mixture she was sifting together. She didn't like the way that sounded, almost as if she wasn't needed in her own bakery. I mean, it's still better when you are here, Cassie added after noticing the look on Lexi's face. And we can use the extra help to replenish our supply of snickerdoodles. Lexi laughed as she handed the bowl of dry ingredients to Cassie. I know that Nance thinks giving people cookies will get them to open up and talk. She poured some sugar and cinnamon into a shallow bowl, mixing the two together with a fork. But the truth is, I think the ladies have been eating most of them. Cassie laughed. No doubt. The girls dug teaspoon-shaped balls out of the batter, rolled the balls in the cinnamon and sugar mixture, and set them on a cookie sheet. Lexi could almost taste the buttery cinnamon flavor of the cookies as she slid the sheet into the oven. The bells over the front door to the shop chimed. Your turn, Cassie said, not taking her eyes off the red velvet cake she was frosting. Got it. Lexi wiped the flour off her cherry pattern vintage 1950s apron and headed for the front room. She should have known who it would be. Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen. It was almost as if they had a sixth sense and knew she'd just put in a fresh batch of snickerdoodles. You guys are a little early. Lexi made a big show of looking at her watch. The snickerdoodles won't be out for 6 more minutes. Nance chuckled and helped herself to a coffee from the self-serve station. Oh, we didn't come for cookies. We were just discussing the new developments in the case and wanted to make sure everyone was on the same page. We knew you'd be working today, so we thought we'd come to you, Ruth added. Although, fortifying ourselves with some pastries wouldn't hurt. Ida eyed the pastry case. Lexi couldn't help but smile. Okay. You guys get coffee and I'll fix up a plate. She opened the pastry case and pulled out some of yesterday's scones and brownies. If the ladies were going to eat all her profits, she might as well give them the day-old items she was going to have to pack up for the soup kitchen anyway. The four ladies settled at a table, the white ceramic coffee mugs that Lexi supplied for customers who ate in the cafe sitting in front of them. Lexi put the tray on the table, and they each selected a pastry, putting their napkins primly on their laps and taking a nibble. Okay, let's get to it. Nance brushed crumbs from her hand onto her plate. I checked out Evelyn's alibi and verified she was 1,000 miles away at the Organic Growers Conference. So she couldn't have put anything in Winston's food that morning, or even the day before, Ruth said. But she and Larry could have been in on it together, and the conference gives her the perfect alibi. Maybe that's why she went. Ida broke off a piece of scone and popped it into her mouth. Either way, I'm willing to bet Larry put something in that drink. But of course the glass has been washed by now, so we can't test it, Nan said. Anyone have any ideas on what we can do to get some evidence against him?
We've already proven he had motive and opportunity. Helen ticked the two items off on her fingers. I guess we just need to prove the means.
Which we can do by catching him with the poison, Ida added.
Except we don't know what the poison was, Ruth pointed out.
Jack said the toxicology report should be in today. Oh, and you owe Mike an apple pie, Lexi said.
Nance grimaced. I guess I do.
Did you tell Jack about Larry giving Winston special juice at breakfast?
I did, Lexi said.
And I also told him about Larry and Evelyn's affair. He wants copies of those pictures.
He seemed very interested in our theories. Nance beamed with pride.
Ruth, can you email Jack the pictures? I'll just give him a call and let him know we are sending them, and see if the toxicology report came back yet. Nance reached into the gigantic beige patent leather purse that hung on the back of her chair, pulled out her iPhone, and called Jack. Hi, Jack, it's Mona. I was wondering about that toxicology report. Everyone at the table watched Nance expectantly. Yes, I know, I have to bake a pie. Nance rolled her eyes and made circling motions with her hand. Okay, that's the only thing that came up? Nance pulled out a pen and started to write something, then paused her pen in midair. What do you mean our theory just got shot? Her forehead creased into dozens of wrinkles. Lexi watched as three pairs of gray eyebrows rose. Tried to kill him? But how do you know that wasn't an accident? Ruth, Ida, and Helen's eyes got a little bigger, and they put their pastries down on their plates. Jiminy cricket. That sure does change things. I'll get my people on it right away. Nance disconnected, a look of worry on her face. Well, what is it? Ruth demanded. It looks like Larry might not be the killer after all. What? Why do you say that? Helen asked. Jack just told me that Larry was found in his cabin, unconscious. He was rushed to the hospital with carbon monoxide poisoning. How does that prove he's not the killer? Lexi asked. When the police heard about another Banks family member in critical condition, they got suspicious and went to his cabin to investigate. He has a kerosene heater that's vented to the outside. Someone had plugged up the flue with rags. So, someone tried to kill him on purpose and probably thought it would look like another accident, Helen said. I bet they were going to go back and take the rags out later on, so everyone would have thought there was a leak from the heater. Goodness knows, there have been enough reports of carbon monoxide leaks in the papers, so no one would think anything of it. This sure does put things in a different perspective. Nance drummed her fingers on the table. It looks like someone is killing off the Banks family. And that leaves only one member that hasn't been targeted, Ruth said. Olivia, Lexi, Ida, and Helen said in unison. Nance nodded. That's right. But the question is she the next victim or the killer? My vote is that she's the killer. Ida bit into her brownie, then scowled at Lexi. Are these fresh? They're less than 24 hours old. It was true, by Lexi's calculation. They were 23 hours and 54 minutes old. She was one of our primary suspects before we found out about the breakfast meeting with Larry and Winston, Helen pointed out. But that drink seemed like the perfect way to poison Winston, Lexi said. When would Olivia have had a chance to poison him? Maybe Olivia and Larry were in on it together. And then, after they killed Winston, she tried to do away with Larry. Ida raised her brows over her coffee cup. Maybe. Ruth slurped her coffee noisily. Did you find out what the poison was? Helen turned to Nance. If we know, then that could help us narrow down who had the means to use it. Nance looked down at the piece of paper. Aconite. Have any of you heard of it? Ida nodded. I have. It comes from a plant called wolfsbane. Very toxic. A plant? Does it grow around here? Nance asked. Lexi's heart kicked. Wait a minute. Do you mean like an herb? Yes, exactly. It is an herb, Ida said.
It has lots of medicinal uses, but you have to be very careful with it, as it can be deadly. I suppose it could grow around here, but I haven't heard of it too much in the wild. If you wanted to grow it yourself, though...
I saw Olivia with a book on herbs when I was at the Fur Fun Canine Center. The words rushed out of Lexi's mouth. Ruth sucked in a breath.
So, she would have had the knowledge about how to use it as a poison, as well as how to grow it.
And those stems I saw in the dumpster. Lexi stared at the others as she let the words trail off.
And don't forget, your friend saw her the morning the photographer's shop was broken into,
Helen reminded Lexi.
That's right.
And she sat next to Regis at the party, so she was probably afraid there was a picture of her switching the ice creams.
I could see why she'd kill Regis, and maybe even Winston. But why Larry?
Nance asked.
If the reason for the killings was that she didn't want the Meadow Lane land developed, she could have spared him. He wouldn't have developed the land.
According to the terms of the will, shares of stock owned by each of the brothers would have reverted to Olivia upon their death. So, with her father and brothers out of the way, she'd have controlling interest in Bank's development. Maybe she has grander plans than just stopping the Meadow Lane development, Ruth said.
Or maybe she didn't want Larry getting in the way of her and Steve's smuggling business,
Ida offered. But with the million she inherited, does she really need to smuggle drugs? Lexi asked. Nance gave Lexi a look, and the three other ladies twittered.
Lexi, I think you've led too sheltered of a life. Drug smuggling can be a lot more lucrative than $1 million.
Maybe, but she can't be that smart if all her efforts to make the murders look like accidents keep getting exposed. Lexi picked a chocolate chip cookie, now a full day old, from the plate and crunched into it.
True. And by now she'll know her unsuccessful attempt to kill Larry has been exposed.
Helen eyed them all warily.
Which could make her very dangerous.
That's right, Nance nodded. She's probably getting desperate to cover her tracks. So we'd better proceed with caution.
Helen nodded.
There's no telling to what extreme she'll go to keep from being discovered.
Nance leaned across the table, her face grim.
If we're right, she's already killed twice. So there's nothing to stop her from killing again.